We're going to be reading tonight from 1 Samuel. If you want to get your Bibles over there, 1 Samuel. Over in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel. When you're studying the book of 1 Samuel, there's usually three characters that you'll talk about when you're studying 1 Samuel. For sure it'd be Samuel, right? King David. And also Saul. Tonight we're going to talk a whole bunch about somebody else that wasn't either one of those three guys, okay? And the passage of Scripture I chose to start with tonight, I really think fits in the day in which we're living. I'm talking about November the 12th, 2008. This is almost like reading the headlines today. I talk to people all the day long. I talk to them every day, every week. And if there's ever been a time that people are in trouble, it's right now. A lot of people are in financial trouble. It's amazing how many people are close to losing homes. Many people continue to lose jobs. It seems like every time you turn on the news, another factory's closed. Some other people have been laid off. And everybody's trying to jumpstart the economy. And it just seems like that it goes from bad to worse. In the book of 1 Samuel, the 14th chapter, let me read you two verses. We'll pray again. I'll give you a title. We'll get a message. I'll give you an invitation. And we'll go to the house. How's that sound? Now, I don't know if I can do it all in that right order I just gave you. That's the plan, all right? Now, I won't make you stand again because y'all look like you're just on your last leg. So I want you to just save that last leg for the invitation time, okay? You can stay seated. And follow with me, though. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse number 4. How many's ever heard the saying, between a rock and a what? I am going to read you where that came from. It is scriptural. There is such a place as between a rock and a what? Hard place. Have you ever been there? Some of you may be there right now tonight, between a rock and a hard place. And you don't know how you're going to get out of this mess that you're in. And it seems like when it rains, it what? See, y'all know the same stuff I know. And I want you to know what you and I are saying tonight out loud has been going on for 6,000 years or longer. People's found themselves between a rock and a hard place. People's felt like when it rains, it pours. People felt like that they're surrounded and there's no place to go. In verse number 4, the Bible says, "And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistine garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side." Between a rock and what? A rock. I think a rock would guarantee a hard place, right? So here Jonathan is between a rock and a rock. And he goes on to say this, and even name the rocks. Maybe we need to do that. This rock is a house payment. And this rock's a car payment. This rock is medical bills. This rock, I'm still sick. Anybody ever been there? Between a rock and a hard place? This rock, marital problems. This rock, problems with the kids. Anybody ever been there? Well, I think we've all faced these things. And Jonathan named them. He named one rock, one thing. He named one rock, Bozez, and then named the other rock, Sinai. Verse number 5. The forefront of one was the situate northward over against. Now, how many's ever heard this place called Michmash? If I'd have told you tonight we're going to talk about Michmash, you'd have said you're a liar because ain't no such thing, preacher. We're going to talk about Michmash. You're going to know where Michmash is when we leave here today. Something major happened at Michmash. How many's ever studied Michmash before? Doug raised his hand. Anybody else been to Michmash or studied Michmash? Well, good. When we leave here tonight, everybody will know where Michmash is. So if somebody brings it up tomorrow at work about Michmash, you'll know exactly where Michmash is, okay? This is an informative service tonight. Aren't you glad you came? And on the other southward, see, when you're between a rock and a hard place, there's some place north and there's some place south, and you can't go east or west. One way in, one way out. To the north was Michmash. To the south was Gibeah. Now, let's pray, and I'll get you to a message, all right? Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, tonight for loving us. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Help us to understand it better tonight. And Lord, we know there's a message here. And Lord, we know there's a message for today in which we live. And Lord, we realize that when we're living in a world where the devil's running loose, that we're going to find ourselves sometimes between a rock and a hard place. Lord, tonight, show us what we need to do when we find ourselves there. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you a quick introduction, or maybe a long introduction quickly. How about that? And I will get you to the message. The message is in the 14th chapter. But before we get there, we've got to see what leads up to it. Because here's Jonathan and his armor bearer, and they're between a rock and a hard place. But how did they end up there? What caused them to be there? See, that's an important thing. And we got to realize, if you're in a rock and a hard place tonight, something got you there. That's right. And let me say this tonight. I believe this beyond a shadow of a doubt. Sometimes God brings you there. Now, you may not believe that. But I want you to know, sometimes God puts us between a rock and a hard place for a simple reason. And we'll get that at the end. But if you'll flip back to the 13th chapter, I'll just highlight you a few things. What happened in the 13th and 12th chapter was this. The Israelites decided they wanted a king like everybody else. And God said, okay, get yourself a king. And they got themselves a king. And the first king of Israel was who, class? Boy, that was weak. David was the first king. Amen? No. Saul was the first king. Amen? There we go. Saul was the first king of Israel. And they sought him out. They picked him out. They made him the king. Now, Israel had 3,000 men in their army. Saul had 2,000 with him. And Jonathan, which was whose son? All right, you're with me. Saul's son Jonathan had 1,000 men. And Jonathan was gung-ho. Jonathan loved the idea of fighting. And so Jonathan took his 1,000 men out, and guess what he did? Jonathan found some Philistines, a garrison. This was a squadron of Philistines. Now, does anybody know who the Philistines were? Name me one. I'm hearing Goliath. How many agree it's Goliath? Raise your hand. I'm going to exercise you a little bit. All right. Goliath was a Philistine. So we know that Philistines were out there. Jonathan goes out with his 1,000 people. And guess what Jonathan does? He whoops up on some Philistines. Now, two things can happen when you win a battle like that. The enemy will either surrender, retreat, run home, or you'll just stir them up and make them mad. Now, how many of you think tonight that when Jonathan went over there and whooped that little small group of Philistines, that they got mad and went home and never fought them again? How many think that when he whooped that little group of Philistines, that they got mad, they went back and stirred up everybody else, and they came back? You're right. I want you to see how they came back, okay? And we're getting close to the message. But I want you to go with me to verse number 5. Go to verse number 5 of chapter 13, verse number 5. Same page in my Bible. This is after Jonathan warned us a little bit. I want you to see how bad things were. Because on one side, Jonathan's got a rock. On the other side, he's got a rock. He could go north, and I want you to see what's north. And then he could go south, and I want you to see what's south. So here he is. Verse number 5. The Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. Are you ready? 30,000 chariots. How many did I say Israel had in their army? 3,000. All right? You're talking about stirring up a hornet's nest. That's what they did, didn't they? They stirred it up. 30,000 chariots. 6,000 horsemen. How many did Israel have? 3. But, and it says this, and the people as what? The sand. 30,000 chariots. 6,000 men on horseback. And then there's people like the sands, the Bible said, of the sea. And guess who they're coming to fight with now? They're coming to fight with Israel, who has how many, class? 3,000. And guess where they met at? Where's that real fancy name I told you a while ago? You'll never forget it again. Mikmash. Not Big Mac. Mikmash. Remember that. Something about a hamburger, preacher. Mikmash. Remember that. They gathered at Mikmash. Now, who's the king? Saul. Now, kings are the leaders, right? And Saul's the leader, and he's got to do what's right as a king. Now, I want you to see what Saul did, because I want to show you what not to do, and I want to show you what to do tonight if you find yourself between a rock and a hard place. What Saul did was wrong. I'm going to lead you into this, okay? Samuel was God's man. Samuel was the spiritual leader of Israel. He was the one that would speak on behalf of God to the people. Samuel said, in 7 days, I'm going to come and I'm going to make a sacrifice at, where's that place again? Mikmash. I'm going to make a sacrifice. In 7 days, wait on me. 30,000 chariots are coming. 6,000 horse soldiers are coming. People like the sand of the seas are coming. And you know what Saul did? He sat down and he waited on Samuel. How many believe he did that? He did not. Saul said, we got to do something, and we got to do something quick. And you know what he did? He offered a sacrifice. What's the big deal, preacher? Let me give you the big deal. Only God's man, which at that time was who? Samuel, could do the sacrifice. But King Saul could not wait for Samuel because there's 30,000, there's 6,000, there's all these people, and they're coming, and we got to do something quick, so we got to offer God a sacrifice quick and get this thing ready and get out there and fight. And I want you to know something. Almost every time you and I find ourselves between a rock and a hard place, we panic. We do. And when we panic, 9 times out of 10, we will do the wrong thing. We'll make a wrong decision. We'll go to the wrong place. We'll call the wrong person. We'll get ourselves in a bigger mess than we ever was. And I want you to know something. This is such a neat story. You can go home and read the rest of this story tonight. But look at me in verse number 6, chapter 13. The Bible says, when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and thickets, in rocks, in high places, and pits. And if you read all this and read to the end of verse 7, it says, and all the people followed him, trembling. You know what happened? They had 3,000. But when this day got over, there was only 600 people left. They started with 3,000. And when this day is over, there's 300 people left. And Saul panics. And Saul offers a sacrifice. And what was the neatest thing when you read this story when you go home tonight, Saul's offering a sacrifice, and guess who shows up? Samuel. He said, "Don't do it till I get there." And Saul said, "We can't wait on him. Let's get this thing going." And when he got it going, guess who showed up? Samuel. You know what Samuel told him? He said, "God will no longer use you as king." Saul was king for a while, and God already begins to put him out of the way. You know why? Because Saul did not trust and obey God. I want you to know something tonight, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you've got to know this. You're never going to get through troubles in this life by doing it the wrong way. You can't hurry it. You can't take a shortcut. Let me just ask an honest question. How many of you, when you find yourself between a rock and a hard place, pray like this, "Lord, get me out of this mess"? Raise your hand. Chat and I is only two. I see a few more hands going up. That's how I pray. I want it quick, now, get it over with. If I need $10,000, Lord, let me go outside and find a bag, throw it in the yard. Amen. We would love for things to get fixed quick. And I want you to know, we cannot disobey God to fix our problems. Disobey God. What happened? He got dethroned. You can't disobey. Wasn't a big deal, preacher. Sure it was a big deal. You know what? God said, "Samuel, you do the sacrifice." And if God appoints somebody to do it, then He's the one to do it. And we need to realize what Saul did. So now the army is down to 600 men. And I'm going to give you the quick message now, okay? By the way, when you go to chapter 14, I want to show you where Saul is in chapter 14. Because when we read about Jonathan a while ago between the rock and the hard place, Saul's not there, is he? So where is Saul? Verse number 2 of chapter 14. "And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men." This is the story I want you to see tonight in just a few minutes that I think is a fascinating story. Israel's down to 600 men. The Philistines have 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horse soldiers, foot soldiers as many as the sands of the sea. Israel's king has moved his 600 men plumb away from where the battle is. They're afraid, they're scared, they're running. And Jonathan and his armor bearer go to, guess where they're going? They're going to Michmash. What are they thinking? You're saying they're not thinking. You do not go there if there's 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and foot soldiers. You don't, preacher. You don't go there. Jonathan did. Jonathan did. He's got his armor bearer, and off they go to face this army with not 600, two. Now let me just give you a quick commercial break. Do you know how many weapons they had? All the army of Israel had two swords. Two. And I think that Brother Jim would probably appreciate this. Look at verse 19 of chapter 13. Just a small commercial break for all of you who know who Brother Jim Smith is. Verse 19 said there was no Smith found. Just see if you're still awake. That means blacksmith. What the Philistines did was, when they went in there and they took over the armies, they went in there and they shut down all the blacksmiths. Where they couldn't make swords and spears. And then they blocked off the roads. And then they started a war. And all they had was two swords. Saul's got one sword and Jonathan's got the other. So Jonathan's got a sword and the guy with him does not have a sword. And they're going against 30,000 chariots, and we'll say it one more time, and 6,000 horse soldiers and foot soldiers like the sands of the sea. Beside this side's a rock. On this side's a rock. Back here's Philistines. Up there's Philistines. Between a rock and a hard place. Amen? What do we do? What do we do? Preacher, get us to the point. All right. Here it is. Look at verse number 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. If you underline in your Bible, please underline this statement. Make you a mark. This is like the most awesome statement in the book of 1 Samuel. Look at this. Come, let us go over unto the garrison of this uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Now, I want you to see something tonight. I want you to see this. I hope you see what I can see. This is just such a neat story to me. Because the first thing looks like a lack of faith, but all it is shows extra faith. It shows extra faith. Look what he said. He said in verse number 6, it may be that the Lord will work for us. He didn't say the Lord might be able. He said it may be that the Lord will work for us. In other words, he's saying God can do anything. He's not limited by numbers of people one way or the other. And it may be that He'll work for us. But I want you to know what He was saying. It doesn't matter whether He works for us or not. I'm going to go on and fight this fight. Now that's faith. What do you do when you're between a rock and a hard place? You know what I'm going to tell you tonight to do? Go forward. Huh? Preacher, it's going to get worse if I stay. What did he say? It could be, and it might be, that God will work for us. He can work for us. And here's the question. Will He? You preacher, if I had that answer, it'd be no trouble. If Jonathan had a crystal ball, or even a magic eight ball, you know. If Jonathan had some way of knowing that he was going to win a fight, it wouldn't be no trouble, would it? If he already knew how it was going to turn out. But guess what? He did not know. And whatever mess your life is in right now, and I know that there's probably some in here that if you was to stand up and tell what you got going on in your life, it would scare some to death. And I want you to know this tonight. You don't know how God's going to work in this thing. And He's not going to tell you. But He's going to ask you to do something. He's going to ask you to trust Him and go forward. And I want you to know that is faith. There's some here tonight who are still debating on whether they need to be saved or not. You're between a rock and a hard place. And I want you to know something tonight. God's not going to promise you. He's not going to tell you that you got till next service. He's going to tell you tonight, you need by faith step out. He's not going to give you the answers. Some of you's got some financial things going on in your life. And you say, how is this going to get fixed? He's not going to tell you. He's going to say, trust me. Some of his health. How am I going to? He's going to say, trust me. You know what faith is? I know what Hebrews says. It's the evidence of things hope. What does it say? Substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. And without faith it's impossible to please Him. And you know what faith really is? You know what faith really is? Faith is hope. Faith is hope. Jonathan had hope. You know who he had hope in? Not his daddy. Not King Saul. Because King Saul's sitting under a pomegranate tree, eating pomegranates, scared to death. But he trusted in his heavenly Father. He trusted in God. And you and I tonight have got to do that. I want you to see something. Go with me to verse number 7. I think there's two things I want you to see tonight. Number one is the faith part. And faith in leadership. So many tonight are on the fringe of stepping out and doing something big for God. You know that God wants His people to do big things? Because we serve an awesome God. And people say, preacher, aren't you scared about what's going on at your church and all those people getting saved? And aren't you scared what the devil's going to do? And I say, you're crazy. My God does big things. I'm smart enough to know this. If God's blessing, the devil's messing. I know that. I'm not a dummy. I know the devil wants to shut this down. He wants it to stop tonight. But I'm telling you something. This is what the Great Commission was about. To go and to seek those that were needing to be saved. And lead them to Christ. And I'm telling you something. Until Jesus comes back, that's what we got to do. A preacher, you got to be careful though. Where'd you read that at? You know what Saul's problem was? Saul was afraid. And we talked about this. God didn't give man a spirit of fear, but of faith. Jonathan had faith and his dad had fear. And what happened to his dad? He lost the kingdom, didn't he? What happened to Jonathan? He served God mightily. And you're going to see how this ends. But I want you to see something else besides having faithful leaders. I want you to see verse 7. I think this is such an awesome thing. His armor bearer. Remember, his armor bearer, does he have a sword or not? He don't have a sword. Said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Oh, man! You talking about pumping up a leader? You look around and the leader said, he said to Jonathan, look around here at me, Jonathan. He said, I'm with you. You go. I'm behind you. Let's go. Now I'm afraid I might say, let's go and look behind me. It might be just about what I see right there. That's what scares me. But it's, you talk about pumping a leader up, when you say, let's go, and you look behind you, and you've got them all coming with you, let's go. See, that's what we need today. We need followers who are not afraid. 30,000, 6,000, sands of the sea. That's what they're up against. Two guys, one sword. and God. There's a verse in the New Testament that says something sort of like this. If God be for you, who can be against you? There's another little young guy in this same book of 1 Samuel, and you can read about him in a few chapters over, and he's going to go against a guy that's 10 foot tall. A Philistine. And he's going to say, you come with the sword and the shield and the spear, but I come in the name of the Lord. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, tonight, when you go out in the name of the Lord, you can get out of the rock in the hard spot. You can. But if you run and you try to do things your way, you're just going to make a mess. This armor bearer said, I am with you. Well, look at verse 14 and 15. I don't want to leave you hanging tonight. We'll read this and we'll go home. Verse 14, in the first slaughter, I like that. See, when God fights battles, they're not just battles, they're slaughters. Slaughters. I got slaughtered one time playing basketball. You ever been slaughtered? That's when it's over early. You know? When you get slaughtered, it's over early. The Bible said, not Brother Steve, but the Bible said, and the first slaughter which Jonathan his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land with which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was trembling in the host, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and the spoilers and the they also trembled. And the earthquake, one sword, two men, God. I'm going to tell you who made the earth shake. It wasn't Jonathan or the armor bearer. And it wasn't on a fault line. It was God. God can shake ground. He can open up ground. He can swallow people. You know what happened? Jonathan and his armor bearer killed 20 people, and they started panicking. The ground started shaking. And I think the army probably thought there's bazillions of people coming. And they started killing each other and running. And next thing you know, these 30,000, these 6,000, and these foot soldiers like the Tennessee, they're leaving the city of Michmash. Because they've been up against God. Now what are we afraid of tonight? What are we afraid of? He's not given us a spirit of fear. Faith. Faith. You know what? There is no situation, listen to me, there is no situation hopeless. I'm going to take that back. I'm retracting that, okay? There is one hopeless situation. One hopeless situation. And this is it. If you die without Jesus Christ, you die without ever repenting of your sins and asking Jesus Christ to save you, if you die that way, you're hopeless. But as long as you're here and you got breath to breathe and you got a mind to think and a heart that can feel the Spirit draw you, you can be saved. And it's not hopeless. And no matter how bad things are in your family and in your job and in your health, no matter how bad it is, you got to step out with faith and trust God. God has cured cancer before. You know that? He has. And God has also gave those with cancer the grace to endure cancer and get through what they got to get through. Either way, God was with them all the way. I want you to know tonight, I believe that there's people in this building that's between a rock and a hard place. I don't think God would have laid that message on my heart tonight if there wasn't people that needed that. I know that tonight. But listen to me. If you just stay there between those rocks, you're not going to get any help. You're not going to get any help. There's another story. Well, let's stand together. I'll tell you one last one. The children of Israel have left Egypt, and they're on their way to the promised land. And they come to this big body of water called the Red Sea. And they stand by the Red Sea. They're just standing there. And they were murmuring, "You brought us here to die." And behind them is the Egyptian army. They're coming after them with chariots and they're chasing them. And here they are at the Red Sea. And Moses goes and he prays to God. And he holds the staff in his hand. And he prays to God and he prays to God and he prays to God. And finally God says, "Moses, quit praying and start walking." He does. He tells Moses, "What are you praying for? Go!" And Moses makes a step, and I believe the water went like that. You've got to step. You've got to make the step. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's waiting tonight for you to step. If you're in that rock and hard place, and you need God's help, step. Step toward Him and ask Him for help tonight. Maybe you say, "Well, I don't think God can help this one." Listen, if He can help that deal right there, He can help yours. You can't tell me that yours is a worse situation than Jonathan was in. And God got him through that. He'll get you through yours. I promise you tonight, you can trust Him. If you're here tonight, you need to be saved, and you feel that Spirit drawing you tonight, you need to come, you come. If you've been saved, you need to follow Him in baptism tonight, you come. You step out while we pray tonight. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, tonight so much for Your Word. Lord, we believe it's true tonight. We've read it, and we can almost imagine how it was when that ground started shaking and those Philistines started running. Lord, You talk about faith and stepping out. Jonathan to step out. And that armor bearer to follow him. Lord, I want that kind of faith tonight in my life. I don't want to be afraid of anything out there but just to trust You and to step forward. Lord, help me to be that kind of a Christian. A Christian with faith that's willing to step out. Lord, I don't know the hearts of this building tonight, but I know that You do. And You're the one that searches the hearts tonight. So we just ask for Your will to be done here. In Jesus' name, amen.